on the fruit of the Spirit this morning. Fruit of the Spirit is developing the character of Christ in us, being conformed into the image of His Son. This is what we've been predestined for. It's the salvation of our soul. It's purifying our hearts. It's working out your salvation in fear and trembling. It's all of these things. As we're developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, then we are doing that. And so it's important to understand what is in our born-again spirit, that everything you need, we are partakers of the divine nature. The very character of Jesus is in our born-again spirit, and we have to understand it and live from that perspective in faith, not according to our emotions. We have to, through time, deal with our emotional problems or traumatic experiences. This is what we do when we do healing and deliverance and inner healing, all of that stuff, to get the people set free from their past so that they're free to live in the future. Psalm 119, verse 32 says, I run in your commands because you have set my heart free. And so we have to facilitate what that is. What that means. In 2 Timothy, though, chapter 3 talks about godlessness in the last days. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Mark this, beware of this. One of the things, first things Jesus said to the apostles when they asked him about the times of his coming and the end of the age, he says, watch that you do not be deceived. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Having a form of godliness, so they recognize God. Probably go to church, they are the church, living for God, but when the terrible times come, if they haven't developed the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, then they're going to become like this. And so when it talks here about denying the power of God, it's not the power of God to heal the sick or cast out demons, it's the power of God to change our lives, which is really developing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we have a part to play in that. It doesn't just poof happen. Through every circumstance and situation that we come to in life, we have to react by faith according to the character of God, which is in our born-again spirit. Our own character in our soul, there's goodness in there, but we have to live beyond the goodness that we have if we ever want to deal with the things that aren't right yet, that aren't yet in the character of God. And so it's always progressing on in faith in every circumstance and situation. And so today we talked about love, joy, and peace. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Love is the foundational fruit that we must live in, and all the others will start to flow out of that. But love is so important. It is so. The magnitude of love is just so awesome, and what it does and what it causes in our lives and causes us to be able to love our enemies. It's a sacrificial love of God. Our emotions, we want justice, we're angry, we're upset, we take offense, but the love of God gets rid of all of that, where we just love our enemies and we pray for them. Whoever hurt you, pray for them. Joy of the Lord is our strength, and peace is our tranquility. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. See, all of these character traits of God that are in our born-again spirit are so important that we develop them. They're there, but we have to live in them, and that's living beyond our emotional realm. You know, our hearts really don't want to change. They're programmed a certain way by the world, by the circumstances of life, whatever has happened to us. And we literally have to live above our emotions by faith in the Word of God. And then gradually, they start to change. So the fruit of patience, definition of patience is persevering in spite of difficulties, delays, or uncertainty. Being steadfast, undergoing pain, hardship, affliction, insult, etc., with calmness and peace. Possessing or demonstrating quiet, uncomplaining endurance under distress or annoyance. Capable of tranquility, awaiting results. Processing or demonstrating quiet, uncomplaining endurance under distress or annoyance. Now, I was going to say, this doesn't count when you're working on the computer. But it does. Sometimes I get so frustrated with that computer because it asks me to do things, but it doesn't tell me how to do it. Or they Microsoft sent something a couple of weeks ago, and it was this big blue box on my screen, and they had two buttons on the bottom, continue or accept. Well, I didn't know what it was. You never know whether it's a virus or something, so I don't accept anything. But when I pushed continue, it'd go back to the beginning again. Continue and accept, continue and accept. And I'm going in circles, and I'm looking around and going up in the corners to see if I can get that X there so I can cross it out. But I couldn't get on my computer to use it. And I got really frustrated after, what's the matter with these people? Why did they do this? I don't want this thing. And now they got my computer blocked. And I got so frustrated, I asked Kathy to come down and see if she could do anything with it. So she comes down and she says, well, you've tried everything else. Why don't you just push accept? The one thing I didn't want to do, because I thought if I push accept, then something's going to come on my computer, and I don't know whether I want it or not. Says, why don't you try pushing accept? Well, that was dangerous to me. But in this blue box, they had two paragraphs. So I stopped to read them carefully to see what I was accepting. And when you clicked on one, then that sort of lighted up, and I realized that one was, if you want to accept this, then take it. But then the other one, as I read it carefully, and it's computer talks, I don't always understand it, but when I read it carefully, I realized I don't want this. This is the answer I want. So I had to accept the negative one. Because then that means you're not receiving this thing. And so then I had to go through this about six times, because every time you accepted the one that said, no, I don't want this, then you get another choice and another choice and another choice. So I had to go through that all. And then my computer came back where I could use it. And then I was really upset, because why did they make this so confusing? Yeah. Why don't they just say, do you want this? No, click. You know, it's that simple. But they had to make it confusing, and I was so frustrated. Really frustrated. I won't tell you how much frustrated, but I ran out of patience. And sometimes you push all these buttons and you're not sure what's happening, but finally something works. And Kathy had the same thing the other day. She got so frustrated. Hank, do you have any patience for a computer? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I haven't worked on one for a while. So I went upstairs. So I can't do this and get this to work. So I sat down and clicked a few times and found it and turned it off for her. But, you know, we get so frustrated that we're not concentrating on what it's really saying, or the answer was there, but we just had to look a little harder. But you get so frustrated, you don't see it, and it's not working. But overall, I mean, we've had patience over the years to stay in ministry, but when you get on a computer, your patience can leave in a hurry sometimes. But that's when we need to exercise it more. But it was a real lesson, because Kathy was calm enough to see the right thing to do. And then when she got upset with her computer, I was calm enough to see what the right thing was to do. So that's a lesson in how important patience is. Mm-hmm. Because once you lose your patience, you're going to make wrong decisions. You're going to get upset. Your turmoil is going to rise up, and you're going to be angry, upset, or whatever, and then you're going to make rash decisions. You should ever make major decisions when you're under pressure or under turmoil. Wait a day, wait 2 days, pray, calm down. All of these things, but that's a good example of patience. Patient endurance, long-suffering, and forbearing are words which have reference to a person's ability to cope with difficult people or with adverse circumstances. These virtues seem to be best developed under trial. Well, if we're not under a trial, how can you develop patience? Because everything is fine. I don't know why the body of Christ has never gotten that. They just want to have a tiptoe through the tulips and everything be nice. And oh, why didn't Jesus fix this? I asked him to. No, you fix it. He fixed it 2,000 years ago. He gave you everything that pertains to life and godliness. According to James, the end result can be that we will be perfectly and fully developed, lacking in nothing. This will be the outcome of those who face trials of any sort joyfully with endurance, keeping their eyes on Jesus. Let's look at James 1, verses 3 to 4. But the Bible just says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptations. If it's joy, then it's not really a trial, is it? So your emotions are going to get upset, but you can count it as joy and say, yeah, I'm upset, but if I do this right and endure and have patience through this, I am going to get through this and I'll be stronger the next time a trial comes. And the Lord doesn't bring these trials on us. It says when we fall into them, because we aren't perfect beings and we cause our own trials and people cause them for us, all these things. Be sure and understand that the trial is the proving of your faith. Let's start at verse 2. Consider it wholly joyful. I'm reading out of the Amplified here. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be sure to understand that the trial and the proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. The trial is to develop patience. How can we develop patience? Only if we can endure the trial. Why can we endure the trial? Because it's the testing of our faith. We know that if we believe God by faith, do what we need to do, then we are going to get through this. But let endurance or patience and steadfastness have full and play and do a thorough work. So all the time we're having patience, our faith is being tested. Read whatever scriptures you need to read to keep your faith up. And faith is developing in your heart through that patience. See, this is how we change our heart. Is it fun? No. We just like it to go away. But this is how our heart changes. This is how we become like Jesus. This is how we get the character of Christ, by having more patience. Because we know that patience is doing its work. In other words, as I'm being patient with this, my heart is growing in faith because I'm reading the word, I'm believing the Lord, I know I'm going to come through this stronger. It's like you have to go through all of this just to change your character a little bit. We're changed from glory to glory every day. So Christianity is really a dedicated, self-disciplined life. That's why we're supposed to be disciples. Go through the narrow gate. Few be there that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. See, we're going to either better ourselves or we're going to get worse by every trial that comes. And do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Wow. So we're changing our character through every trial and we're going to be wholly developed if we'll continue in patience during that trial. And we're going to become more like Christ, and we're going to, through love, fulfill the law, and the blessings of God will come, and we will lack nothing. That's the goal of Christianity, to become like Jesus. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom and his right way of life, then all these other things will be added to you. Don't worry about anything. He talks about the flowers of the field and how beautiful they are, and how they're clothed, and God cares about that, and the birds, how they're fed, he cares about that. Certainly he cares about us, but you got to seek first the kingdom. You got to develop the character of Christ in you. Majority of the church, they get a lot of preaching and hype, and all things are possible, and just pray, God will do this. Well, just pray, brother, just pray, brother. Well, if you don't teach them how to live and how to pray and how to have faith and how to have patience during trials, then you're just dismissing it in a general sense, but it's not practical enough for the person to go home and apply it to their life so that their lives can actually change and become like Christ. See, this is the problem that we're having now with these people that come for to a mass deliverance service, but don't want to come to a heart seminar. See, they don't they don't want to work at this, or they don't know they have to, or they don't realize it, or they don't have faith that they can be set free because they haven't had teaching. They think this is the way life is, and if God didn't supernaturally do something for me when they prayed for me, then I guess it ain't going to happen. I mean, that's their thinking. But they have to come to find out and get this kind of teaching so they can start applying this to their life, because the power of God, we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. So everything we need is already in us. We just got to work it out, work it through into our hearts through these ways. So that's important that we understand how that works. So patience is crucial for developing Christian character. Doing it God's way is contrary to our emotional realm. If we don't persevere in the spirit, we don't grow spiritually. People get lots of revelation because they can understand the kingdom of God. We can see and perceive and understand the kingdom of God, but if we don't live it, then we're still not experiencing the kingdom of God or the life of God. King James calls it the fruit of long-suffering. Some people develop long-suffering, other people just suffer long, never get the victory. So you got to ask yourself, are you long-suffering in your marriage, or are you suffering long? To gird up under pressure, persecution, distress, and trouble, to remain steadfast, endure, to have patience. So I see it more as a character trait of ability to tolerance, more so than a state of tranquility, which would be the emotional state of peace. So patience doesn't mean tranquility or peace, but you develop, we already talked about peace and how to develop that in your life, but patience is endurance to go through that trial, and then you grow and develop, and all the other fruit develop off of that also. But each fruit is very important in its own way. See, just developing peace won't give you the patience that you need for the trial. To remain steadfast, to endure, patience. And as we develop, but even as we develop peace, it would increase our ability to have more tolerance, wouldn't it? Because we have developed peace. So they all tie in together. They're not separate things, but we study them as separate things to see how important each one is to our life. Patience is not a man in a boat fishing someday and there's no pressure. He's just calmly waiting for, you know, something to bite on his line so he can reel in the fish, but he's patient. That's why I never did fish, because I was never patient enough to sit there all day. I was farming, man. I was too busy go, go, go and doing stuff and seeing results, but I didn't like fishing because you're sitting around waiting for some silly fish to jump on the end of the line. I got better things to do than that, was my thinking. But it's I appreciate people that are so calm that they can sit there all day and it doesn't bother them. But that's where we're all different. So patience is not a passive thing. You know, somebody that can do that all day, it's not exercising patience, really. They enjoy doing it. They're just calm people. The patience is not passive. It is an active force during trials, tests, and temptations. So I have to realize what it is. And when I'm in a trial, I have to exercise that patience. And as I can explain with the computer, that's a really good example. Just tell them how we got ticked off with the computer, but you were calm and fixed mine, and I was calm and fixed yours. But we were both too upset to figure out what the heck we were doing. It is the virtue that will enable you to actively adhere to the promises of God for the situation you are facing. It will be these promises that you are holding on to patiently that will shape your expectation for the outcome of the trial. See, and it's the same with healing. Sometimes God heals instantly by the gifts of the Spirit, or we can initiate healing and just be patient and keep exercising faith, reading the healing scriptures, thank God for our healing. And as we do that, then our faith for healing is getting stronger. See, if God does it instantly, we haven't really developed that much faith, have we? It's like God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. He did these miraculous things to bring them out, brings them into the wilderness, feeds them supernaturally all that time for 40 years. Boxcar loads of food rained down every day, bread and manna. And then they still started worshiping idols. Moses went up the mountain for 40 days. He comes down and they're dancing around the golden calf. See, all those miracles that God did. And then they didn't have the faith to go into the promised land, even though they saw the power of God to bring them out of Egypt, everything that he did. There was none sickly among them for 40 years. Their shoes did not wear out, and they didn't have faith to go into the promised land. And God had to let them die in the wilderness and raise up another generation. And so when God heals us instantly, we like it that way, and it's wonderful. And God does a lot of these things. But there's also the process of receiving things by faith. Same with deliverance. Sometimes you can be set free instantly, or you got to grow up and grow your way through it. You can actually be delivered by just living the Word of God by faith, if you're tenacious enough to do it. But we should always be growing and always getting delivered from bad habits and impatience and bad character. But we just have to keep exercising it. And we're not always successful at that, but then we have to, Lord, I'm sorry I flew off the handle. Sorry I got upset. I should have been more patient. Sometimes Kathy and I are looking for things. Kathy's got an office, I got an office. We got stuff all over the place. We put it someplace in a good place, then we forget where we put it or something. Then we run around looking and looking and looking for it. Finally we figure out, Lord, can you show me where there is? 3 minutes later, there it is. He lets us run around in circles till we finally come and ask him. But we're still learning. Some of these things are, it's just you don't stop to think because you're busy and you need this. And so where did I put that? And then you get worked up about it, and there's no need to get worked up about it. You sit down and ask the Lord. Bible has a lot to say about faith, for it is the basis of our salvation. But there are times when faith alone is insufficient, when the answer for what you are believing for does not come quickly. It is patience that will help you stand firm on the Word of God. It is patience that supports, surrounds, and binds your faith. You see how all these things work together so that you can have faith over a period of time and faith continues to grow. This is really what the Lord wants. We know the covenant names of God. Kathy taught them a few weeks ago. And we have to know God through faith and through circumstances and get to know him by every one of his covenant names. He is the God, our righteousness. But unless we know how to understand how to work righteousness into our hearts and into our lives, where we always come back to him, come back to his grace, because our hearts are trained by law and legalism, our hearts condemn us, so we have to learn how to develop that righteousness by faith. And as we're growing, we feel more righteous. We feel better because we have changed, and it starts to develop. Or we can just meditate on it and get the full revelation of it and then just start living it by faith, and it will come. And so, but it's still going to take patience. Although I had a deep revelation of righteousness by faith, I still patiently had to work myself through every trial that came to change my character so that that righteousness became a reality in my life. So this patience that will make you a victorious overcomer as you persevere until the answer comes. The key to victory is to realize you already have the victory, and this new life is in us. And this is why it's so important that you know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what Christ has done for you. If you don't, you're just going to be living out of the negative emotions of your heart, the way you've been taught and the way you've been trained, The way you've always reacted to things has become a habit in your life, and it has become part of our character. Now we have to react by faith and patience through every trial to change the way we handle life. And it changes our heart in the process so that we actually do become like Jesus Christ. There's no other way to change. Wouldn't it be nice when we got born again, when we accepted Jesus, if he just automatically made us like him? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wow. Well, the whole world would be changed by now. We'd be so lovely, so wonderful. People couldn't resist us. We're working on it, Lord. We're getting there. We're a long ways to go. Hebrews 6 and 12 says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Inherit what has been promised. There's an inheritance laid aside for us in heaven. God has a plan for our lives, but we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit who makes us holy, who helps us work out our salvation. God's got a plan for our life, and we have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven which nobody can take away from us. All we can do is lose it if we don't do our part to live for Jesus. Everything is already done. It's guaranteed. We just have to work it out, work it through, and be faithful to the Word of God. This is why the book of James says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And I hear so many Christians that can talk the walk but don't walk the talk. And the Bible says when you do that, you deceive yourself. You think you're spiritual because you have all this spiritual understanding about the kingdom of God, but you're not living it. And your pride in your own heart won't let you admit that you are wrong. And your pride grows because you got all this spiritual knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. And so it always comes back to developing character in our lives. The goal of our faith is the salvation of our soul. The goal of our faith is to become like Jesus. This is how it happens, through developing the fruit of the Spirit. Our society engenders a lack of patience. The lives of societies of industrialized nations are very fast-paced because of technology and keeping ahead of rivals. We're used to having everything quickly, fast food, instant suppers, and everything at our fingertips. Everything is fast-moving and exciting. That's the way people want church. A lot of hype, good show, entertainment, and get me home in time for lunch. I don't teach anything too demanding, and I'll come to your church. That's how you have church growth. But there's no depth of teaching. There's no depth of living for Jesus. There's no fear of God. It's just hype and excitement. And that'll keep people coming, keep the bills paid, and cause the church to grow. But then when that pastor leaves or he dies and another one comes in and he's more of a teacher, everything disappears. It's very, very frustrating because the body is not functioning as the body. And people are not really growing up. They're just getting more information, excited about God and the promises of God. But if you're not living the message, you'll never get the promise. To those who overcome, Jesus said, I will give to sit with me on my throne, just as my Father gave me to sit with him on his throne. When we go to third world country, we have culture shock because the slow pace. We have everything when we want it and the way we want it, medicine, unemployment, insurance, welfare benefits, on and on and on it goes. We are, and the government gets in to be the government they are because they make all these promises to the people and becomes a socialist society. But then they borrow more money, get us so far in debt that the country can never come out, and then the whole thing falls apart eventually. But that's what they have to do to get in power. That's why we now have marijuana legalized. That's really going to help the nation. And they find ways to justify it. See, it's catering to what people want instead of what they need. And then when churches do that, we have the same mess in the church. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. I'm always looking for teaching or wisdom that will help you grow. Where probably a lot of pastors are looking for teaching that will just keep you coming and keep you excited and let the church see they're more concerned about numbers than they are about making disciples of the kingdom. And there's varying degrees of all of that. But God has called me to teach, so I just can't stop doing it. But it's good for us. You can go on the internet if you want some hype. And that's all right. Preaching is all right. It's just, and you need that also. You can't have a steady diet of just one thing. There has to be all the giftings, the fivefold ministry are needed. Jesus went preaching and teaching about the kingdom. Luke chapter 8, is that what I said? Verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God, and those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. This is the hype and the excitement. Oh, wow, yeah, this is great. God will do this, God will do that. But they have no root. They have no depth of character. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Here Jesus is talking about the kingdom, his word, how it works in people's hearts. And so this is why the trials come. It's the testing of our faith so that we get stronger and we don't fall away. And we can stay excited about Jesus. This is why we get religious system where they lose their first love. They know everything. They can tell the false prophets. They persevere for the sake of the gospel, but they've lost their first love. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way and they are choked by life worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Life worries, riches, and pleasures. The deceitfulness of riches, pleasures, what I want. Not what God wants for me or what God wants to do in me or what God wants to do through me. What I want. And God's going to bring it. I'm going to believe for it. I want a new car. Well, go get a job. Mm-hmm. Do your work as unto the Lord. You'll get a promotion. That's too practical. People just want God to somehow bring them a car. It's ridiculous. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering or with patience produce a crop. So this is the way of Christian growth. And patience has such a big part to play in that. We are changed from glory to glory. We don't see it from day to day. But the kingdom of God is as a seed, and it grows gradually and slowly. I've given you this example before. We used to have a cornfield between the house and the barn. I'd have to walk from the house to the barn to do my chores. And you walk by that corn every day. And every day, you wouldn't notice that it had grown. But you go on holidays for two weeks, and you come back. And all of a sudden, wow, did that ever grow while I was gone? Oh, it was growing all the time while I was there, too. But it's like a foot higher because it grew. So the kingdom is always growing as long as we're always cooperating with the kingdom of God by faith. So it is easy to be a Christian when things are going well, but do we show the character of Jesus in adverse situations and circumstances? Jesus said, if you love those that love you, what benefit is it to you? It's not going to change you. You have to love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. The functions of fruit of patience or long-suffering is to produce endurance from our spirit man. I said this many times. I have to keep reminding myself, especially when it's the problem, you know, when the computer isn't working, I get upset. I'm thinking about what I have to do. I'm not thinking about what the Word of God says, and I'm so upset I forget what the Word of God says. We've all been there, amen? Yeah. Don't shut me down, Pastor Hank, just you're preaching good. But we have all the patience inside of us that we need in our born-again spirits. It's our hearts and our soul we have the problem. We still get frustrated because we want to do it now. We want it to happen now. We want it to be right now. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We got to get a different version of now. Now I'm born again. Now I'm a child of God. Instead of now I want it done. So we have all the love in our born-again spirit we need. We have all the joy. We have all the faith. But if we don't exercise it, it doesn't come to reality in our heart. And it's just words on a book again. Words on the page. But this kind of teaching is what makes it alive. It keeps it alive. So it's the capacity to remain firm under suffering without yielding to anger, resentment, despair, frustration, or self-pity. I'm going to take this lesson and stick it to the wall right by my computer, I think. Hebrews 12 and 1 will end with this. But it is necessary for our overall Christian life. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every circumstance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. The appointed course of the race that is set before us. There's a different course for all of us. It's all the same principles, but we're all different, and God deals with us at different times and in different ways. So we all have our own race to run, our own course. I call it an obstacle course of life. Why is this coming at me? What do I need to learn from this? How do I grow through this? How do I deal with this? Lord, help me. Lord, where's your grace? Get in the Word and see what the Word says and meditate on that. This is how I'm going to get through this situation. I sort of do this on the fly, but sometimes I get too busy and things go off kilter a little bit. But what has helped me over the years is that I get to teach all these things, so then it gets in my heart, and when I mess up, I sort of realize, and I back up and repent and start doing it right. But we all have our own things that we have to go through. God, we have a purpose in our life. God is preparing us for that purpose, that we can be more efficient at that purpose, whether it's just loving your neighbors and witnessing to them, or praying for the church, or praying for Kathy and I and what we're doing, praying for missions or whatever. You know, God has taken us through things to develop us for the purpose that He has for us. And so because of what I've had to do, or what Kathy and I, what our call was, we've had to go through so much. That's why God took us out of a bar room, threw us into the ministry. Now we had to work our way through all of this, patiently endure. Was it frustrating? Sure it was. But we came to the end of our frustration and gave our ministry to the Lord. And then it got easier, but we still have to always keep preparing. So I'm ready to do what God has called me to do today, but I'm not yet ready for what he's got 5 years from now. But as I'm doing what I'm doing today, then if I keep doing it his way, I'm going to be ready for what he has for me 5 years from now, which is going to be everything the same except bigger and more responsibility, but I'll be resting more in him. And so he's going to carry the load, but I still have the responsibility of overseeing and doing things, but learning to rest in him. So people get upset, just be a peacemaker, work them through it. All these things, I got to keep developing these things in my heart. This teaching is good for me. I need this all the time. Like I say, I think I'll hang this one of patience by my computer. It's good to have scriptures hanging on the wall, especially scriptures you need in your life for what you're going through. When you've gotten through that and something else comes, take that scripture down, put another one up. This is why we, you know, whatever you're going through, probably is, you know, you have daily devotionals and they're good. But I think daily we should realize what are we going through? What do I need? Let's get in the Word and build up our faith in that area. Be encouraged by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, by the Word that comes alive in us as we're reading it. And let's work on this situation that we're going through now. And then once you get through that, you get a bit of a rest and then something else comes along. All right, what do I need to get through this? This is really, to me, more logical prayer on a daily basis, Word on a daily basis, time with Jesus on a daily basis, coming to the throne of grace on a daily basis. What are you going through? What kind of crisis do you have in your life at this time? Let's get into the Word instead of just, oh, I hope this turns around sometime. Oh, Lord, when is this going to change? And we're complaining and belly aching and whatever, and all the negative things in our heart are getting stronger. Faith is going downhill. Our hope is going downhill. We got no hope left. See, it's getting in the Word every day for what you need. What are you going through in your life at this time? Whatever it might be. Even if it's someone in the family that's really sick, even if they're on the point of death, read the scriptures on our eternal peace, that our hope is in him. We do not mourn as people who have no hope. We have hope. Be bold enough to talk to them about the Lord. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't respond properly, as long as the words are spoken and they're in their heart, God can deal with them, even on their deathbed, where they say, they don't want to go to hell. They'll say, Jesus, help me. And that'll be enough that they recognize the Lord. You know, just realizing these things. What do we do about this circumstance and situation? Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us wisdom to understand how it works in our lives, how you work in our lives, how life helps us to grow and develop in you, the trials of life that come. But we can count it all joy because we're going to get stronger as we keep living for you. We just keep coming back to you, correcting our mistakes, getting back to the Word. Lord, the Word is in our hearts. Bring it to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, there's times where we're not patient. We get upset. But when we calm down, quicken the Word to us again. Quicken these concepts of patience to us again and how to work it into our lives. Because you continually work in our lives to make us holy. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're always there. You never leave us or forsake us. And sometimes you have to take us through the same lesson a number of times. Thank you for your patience, Holy Spirit. But keep bringing these concepts back to our hearts for every circumstance so that when we calm down, we see where we've missed it. We ask forgiveness from the Lord for not living by faith. And we go back to doing it the right way and work it into our lives. Father, we give you all the glory and honor and praise for such an awesome plan. And you created us, Father, so the instructions are in your word for us how to react to every circumstance and situation. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for all the changes that you've brought in our lives already. And we look forward to becoming more like you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, Father, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, we have a little help today.